God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings, God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagle's wings. Still lies before me, and the wind is blowing strong. When the witnesses around me, and my strength is almost gone. When the valley plunges deeper, and life shatters all my dreams, then I lift my voice to Jesus, and He gives my spirit wings. God gives wings. God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagle's wings. Let us run the race with patience, let us lay each weight aside, looking only unto Jesus, He will be our faithful guide. He has run the race before us, He has won the victor's crown, and He calls to every Christian, follow me to higher ground. God gives wings, God gives wings as eagles. God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagles. I mount up on eagles' wings. I mount up on eagles' wings.
And I'm getting a lot of emails from people, and they're very encouraged that somebody's preaching out against this, because most pastors don't want to talk about it. They're really nervous about talking about it. And it's not comfortable. I don't like talking about it either. But if they're going to have a whole month dedicated to it in this country, I figure in that month, I better have a lot of preaching then on it, which we're going to continue that tonight too even. All right, I want you to open your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 18. Don't get too excited yet. We haven't got started, okay? Now, I'm going to pray and then we'll get right into this, all right? I'm just going to reset this recorder here. An attack from the devil is what it is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, tonight's message I want to cover with you. Homosexuality is occult worship. And some of you might not understand what that means, but I'm going to show you what that means here tonight. Homosexuality is actually occult worship. And you're going to see certain players we're going to talk about tonight that were in the occult and part of that movement. Hitler, Aleister Crowley, and secret societies. We're going to talk about all those tonight. And we're first going to start with the Word of God, though, and we're going to start here because God already told us this, by the way. God already told us that homosexuality was a part of the occult. You say, nah, I've never seen that before. I know, because if you don't study your Bible and you're looking for those exact words, homosexuality is the occult. That means that you're looking for an exact phrase that has to say that in order. No, you have to read the Scriptures. You have to actually study them, and you have to see what it's attached to. You have to actually be a Bible student and actually dig into the Word of God and actually see, yeah, and be saved so you can understand it, and look inside there and see what the Bible says. And you will find that homosexuality in the Bible is entirely connected with the occult the whole time. Ever since the beginning of after the fall of man and after Israel was going into their countries and the laws that God had given them, all of those things, God told us this is what it's connected to, and this is why I hate it. Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, I want you to stop there for a second, because there's a bunch of conniving, wicked men out there that are trying to say, well, see, this is just dealing with temple prostitution. It's not dealing with... No, God didn't say temple prostitution there. He never mentioned... By the way, that is part of... We're going to get into that. I mean, very discreetly, but we're going to get into that. But the point is that God never said that that's what that was. No, he made a blanket statement there, didn't he? A command he gave. What did he say? He said, if a man lies with a man as with a woman, it is an abomination. Period. Right? By the way, he said, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, that was God's command in Israel. That was his command, to put them to death. Is that our command today? No. We're not Israel. We're not Israel, okay? However, God still hates it. It's still an abomination to God. And God still is going to judge it and is judging our nation for it and for its acceptance of it. So number one, I want to say this to you. God hates sexual sins. God absolutely hates them. In this chapter, Leviticus, throughout the Bible, we see how much God hates it. Look at Leviticus chapter 20, please, and verse number 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. See that? All in the same chapter here. And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion, their blood shall be upon them. They have wrought confusion. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death. By the way, that's next on the docket for America. Hang on, it's coming. Mm-hmm. Right, they've planned it long ago. Yep, yep. And ye shall slay the beast, it says. Leviticus 20:16, if a man approach unto any beast, if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman, and the beast they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Why? Because verse number 26, and ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. So what do you have these religious? I'm going to tell you, these people that are working for the homosexual gay mafia out there, which we'll talk about another day. There is a gay mafia. We'll talk about them sometime. But who's working for them in these churches? They are Baal worshipers. I don't care if they say they believe in Jesus. They're Baal worshipers is all they are. I'm going to show you Baal worship. Homosexuality is Baal worship, by the way. They are Baal worshipers is all they are. They're religious. Yes, they are. They're saying, hey, we got a Tony Campo. What's his name? I don't know. Anybody know how to say his name? Campo. I don't know. Something. Campola or something. I don't know. Anyway, he's a big evangelical. And what does he say now? He says, oh, homosexuals should have open and full member benefit rights in churches completely.
Okay. All right. Who is that mean preacher right there anyway? to turn that down. He's got me turned all the way down. I got to turn this up. Luke had me turned all the way down, man. He's trying to muzzle the ox. Got to watch those guys. They get mad about a Sunday sermon, then they take revenge on Monday. That's how that works. Telling you, you got to keep an eye on those guys. Well, how's everybody doing this afternoon? 2:10. Hey, I started on time. I started with a video. And I started with a song, actually. Then I went into the video because I thought about this video today when I was earlier this afternoon or earlier this morning when I was going to talk about this subject, because it's a reoccurring theme that is coming our way. And I thought, well, hey, I might as well talk about this, and I might as well deal with this and bang the drum on this one more time, because it's important to do. So I thought about this sermon, going back and playing some of this, and I'll probably do that periodically through this broadcast, because it's actually a good sermon for this subject. It shows you, I want to show you, I think I like leaving this as a question. Well, number one, because then YouTube doesn't just jerk the video off right away. Isn't that right, Luke? Because they see that title and then it's like, oh, well, he's asking a question. You know, Luke, so that's probably a good strategy I have there with that. But anyway, secondly, it's a good question. So, but I have the definitive answer, of course, and you already know what my answer is going to be. But hey, what if somebody's searching online and they look at that? That's important to understand. It's important to have a good answer for that. So I think if you're searching YouTube, somebody, they might find this. All right, let's see who's on here. So I can say hi to everybody. Elijah Morgan is on here. He was first. Carl Winters, we think. Peter, KJV, Bible Believer, that's not my real name. I really don't think that's your last name, Peter. The Sullivan Kid, 2425. I'll have you know you're not 24 or 25, Sullivan Kid. I know that's true. Like Becca, you're 24 and 25 with shipping and handling. But we won't talk about that. Dulce Hernandez. How you doing? You got two Hernandez names. I don't know what that means, but anyway. Christine Sinclair, I hope you're doing well. Cindy Moretti. Who was after Cindy? I missed somebody. Joe McDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. Mary's on. And Maria, how could a person gay be accepted into a church? I have an answer for you. They shouldn't be. There's no scripture to enter in somebody that's in open sin into a church, any open sin. You don't baptize alcoholics that are living in alcohol, that are living drunks. You don't baptize them into a body. You don't baptize people that are into pornography, that choose not to turn from their pornography, that are continuing in sin. You don't baptize two people that are fornicators, that have no intention of separating. People that are shacked up living together in sin. You don't do that. All right? Ryan Jacobson says hello. Hello, Ryan. Hannah's on there. Andrea's on there. Peter. We already talked about Peter. Enough said about him. Stephen L. Okay, keep praying for Mary, Mary's mom. Gina Williams, short answer to the question proposed, no. Good, Gina. Let's see. Glad to be here. Glad to have you here, Betty. Apparently, Maria doesn't sing well. Okay, well, look, Carl, you're supposed to teach her, not put her down now. Since you're an opera singer, you should be teaching her how to sing. You got to take her through some lessons. Frohlin, rolling with Frohlin. Jacob's on there. Lisa's fashionably late. I'm that way a lot, but unfashionably. Cat lady's there. Good afternoon. Okay, let's see. Eric. All right. Okay, let's see. Wow, there's a lot of people on here. All right. What about effeminate-looking men? What about them? What about them? What do you want me to do about them? Tell them to cut their hair and look like a dude? I do that all the time. I don't think effeminate-looking dudes are going to come here and be like, hey, can we join your church? It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. All right. Well, anyway, before we get started here, which we kind of already did start, but before we get started here, let me just say to you that I'm going to take these stupid headphones off. There we go. That's what I'm going to say. All right. Yesterday was a good day. Boy, the devil was really fighting me on the sermon that I was preaching. In the morning, he really wanted to fight me. He fought me actually for a week or 3 or 4 days on it. But nevertheless, the Lord blessed. Then, you know, I'll tell you something that happened that was very interesting, and I won't mention any names, obviously, because it isn't for public knowledge or for anybody else to know. But the testimony that I can give you, though, is good. And that is, a young man contacted me that left this church about 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, abruptly, and I never heard from him again. And he actually contacted me and stopped off between services, and he wanted to come by and ask, and he came by and he sat down with me for a while, and he just said that he wanted to ask forgiveness for the way that he left, that it wasn't right, and he should have done it a better way. And that he just wanted forgiveness. And, of course, I forgave him. And I was blessed by that. That's the second time that's happened to me in probably the last 2 months. I had another young man contact me that, man, oh, man, he probably accused me of everything you could imagine. And then some. When he left this church, and his life was in shambles, and he wrote me a letter, or wrote the church a letter, actually, but addressed it to me, and he wanted forgiveness after 7 years, and he wanted forgiveness, and, you know, wanted to know if we would forgive him, and of course we did, and we sent him a letter back and told him that we pray that he's well and that the Lord blesses his life and that he would go on and be free of this matter in his heart and just serve the Lord. And you know, that was a blessing. I'll tell you that a lot of pastors go through those types of things all the time. And it takes years, I'm learning, it takes years for people to make those things right. You know, sometimes it does, it takes years. And I remember one pastor said, He said, and he would preach for 30, 40 years, and he's 30 years, I think it was. He's in his 70s now. I think he preached probably for closer to 40 years, probably. And he said, you know, if you stay in this thing long enough, you'll be vindicated for a lot of things as the years go by. And I know what he meant by that now. I didn't understand what he meant by that then. But I do understand now what he meant by that. And what he meant was is that, you know, a lot of time, you know, a lot of time that goes by, the Lord uses that to help people to get right about some things, you know, that, and not that pastors do everything correctly, because they certainly don't, you know, but they try to remain faithful through everything and to continue on through the hardest times. And I've probably had, probably the hardest time of my life has been the last 2 or 3 years, I would say. It's been the hardest time of my life. But the Lord has used it also to help other people. And I want to be a blessing to other people. I want to help them. Your view of the Christian life, I think, changes the longer that you're saved and the more you mature in the faith. God changes you and he shows you different things. I think Paul attested to that. To the weak, he became weak, right? I mean, to the strong, he was strong. He was all things to all men, you know, that he might win them. And I think that's what he meant by that, but we'll look at that some other time. Anyway, but I just wanted to praise the Lord for that, and also praise the Lord. I'll give you an idea here. I want to share something with you. You know, I decided to do these broadcasts because I knew I needed to do more for the Lord. So again, I needed to get back at it. Not just the ministry and what I do here for the church and what the Lord has called me to do here, but also to do more for people, for evangelism, for people out there, to feed people out there. So it's interesting. And you know, I have tried to, and that takes a lot of time. I mean, it takes a lot of time to do. It's an aggressive schedule, and I've added other things. 3 broadcasts a week. Then we have Wednesday service. Then we have Sunday morning. And then I have 2 extra sessions on Sunday of keeping the kids. And then I have the Baptist history. Because I want to get it all in. I really do. I want to do as much as I can while the Lord allows me to. So, but in that, it takes my time to where between praying and studying and putting together and broadcasting and everything else, it really takes my time up. So I can't exactly go make money doing other things that I used to do. Now, sometimes I do. You know, sell some guns or something like that. Legally, of course. But, you know, I'll do some other things you know, and do extra things, you know, that. But, you know, the Bible says they that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And he's speaking about not muzzling the ox that treadeth the corn. So our church takes good care and does whatever they can do. But, you know, people come and people go, and you know, you don't get to keep everybody. There's some people you let go and to go out and do the will of God at another church, you know, and to serve the Lord somewhere else. So things like that happen. So churches are constantly changing. What you find is most of the time that the pastor is going to be there, and then you're going to have your core of people that are going to be there. But between that, you're going to have transient people that enter in, you know, in and out of there. So what I'm saying is that sometimes I, you know, it's a test of faith for me to trust the Lord through everything. Like I have since the beginning of our ministry, we don't have any set salaries. I don't preach a lot on giving. We trust the Lord. I bring the needs forward before the church when there is them. And then we just keep going. And I don't monetize my account. I don't try to do all that stuff. I don't try to do gimmicks, all that kind of stuff. I just don't do that. But To give you a testimony, it's interesting. Last week I needed some money to cover a mortgage payment. And it was interesting to me that, you know, somebody asked me, well, are you going to go try to, you know, make it somewhere, do something? I said, no, the Lord said that he'd take care of me. And this is what God's called me to do. And I'm doing these broadcasts every week, and that's going to take up time. And that's what I'm focusing my time on, that and the sermons that I preach and pastoring a church and caring for my family and helping others and everything else. So I'm just going to trust the Lord through it. I'm not going to, you know, I don't have the time to go out and try to do that. And it was funny because what happened was on Friday while I'm doing that last broadcast, you know, an envelope was delivered to me through a courier. I won't say who, because you never know if somebody's going to try to steal stuff from you, but through a courier, and opened it up, and there was $530 cash that was in there. And that pretty much enabled me to finish paying the mortgage payment that I needed to pay and had the money at that time. So, you know, whether you realize it or not, some of you that send money through PayPal or you do something else, and you may think it's insignificant or it's not a big deal or whatever, it is, because God uses it. You know, God uses it, and he uses it to take care of me so I can continue to do the work and others, but continue to do the work that God has called me to do. So I wanted to give you that testimony and say that the Lord does meet our needs, and we must continue to be faithful and trust him through everything. And God will provide. You know, he'll use things. There's ebb and flows to everything. Times of feasting and times of famine, you know, that's the ministry in general. I was always trained in sales, so I was used to that anyway. But anyway, all right, I just wanted to give a testimony of that. And now let's move on here with that. But I wanted you to know that and to encourage you also, because some of you give and you do things, and you wonder maybe, you know, how the Lord uses that. You know, and sometimes you just don't realize what type of an encouragement that is at different times, you know, so of, you know, for whoever you're helping. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you. Now, moving on. Good. Lisa's got it. Romans chapter 1. We're going to talk about that. But first, let's go to Genesis. Because the question... Well, first of all, let's look at what God instituted, okay? And remember this, because when asking the question, is homosexuality compatible with Christianity? It almost seems like a dumb question, right? In that sense, I like this right here. I like the fact that this is found... male and female, right, is found, we got six times here. God created them male and female, male and female, male and female. Anyway. No more of that for you. Don't you know you're supposed to put your stuff back where you found them? Chair Ez says, no, it's not. You are absolutely wrong. What am I absolutely wrong about, Chair Ez? You are absolutely wrong. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? So seven times we find in the scriptures, male and female. That's God's order. That's what God set down in the scriptures. Male and female. Luke, you're cutting the top of my head off. Look, I got to adjust that a little bit. Luke's got the top of my head like chopped off here in this... All right. Anyway. So God created man in his image, in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So we have male and female created. God's order. Anything that is contrary to God's order is what? Rebellion. It's wrong. It's wrong. Chapter 5, verse number 2. Male and female create he them and bless them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Genesis 6:19, God was going to destroy most of his creation. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with the male, and they shall be male and female. Why? Duh, because they procreate. Right? They procreate. Right? That's pretty easy, isn't it?
Television just to watch the evening news, and what I saw on there made me want to crawl right through the tube, cause they were talking about this wedding but they only showed two men, so I fired off this little email with some words just for them. Come on down to the farm, come on out to the barn, you won't find two roosters walking arm in arm. They couldn't make no chicken, they don't lay no eggs to hatch. When God said love your brother, I don't think he meant like that. Well, in that little email, I began to tell them how two mares can't make a stallion, two bulls can't make a cow. It takes a male and a female for the species to go on, and there'll be no reproduction if the plumbing is all wrong. So come on down to the farm, come on out to the barn, you won't find two roosters walking arm in arm. They couldn't make no chicken, they don't lay no eggs to hatch. When God said love your brother, I don't think he meant like that. We used to teach our children all about the birds and the bees. Now the world keeps telling them you can do anything you please. We need to get back to the Bible, back to the gospel truth, cause a million happy roosters won't make a single chicken. So come on down to the farm, come on out to the barn, you won't find two roosters walking arm in arm. They couldn't make no chicken, they don't lay no eggs to hatch. When God said love your brother, I don't think he meant like that. When God said love your brother, I don't think he meant like that.
That last part there was played by Maria or Mary. At least Carl thinks so anyway. Okay, anyway. All right. Just kidding. Sort of. Maybe not. That might be real. Okay. Where were we at? Let's go back to the Word of God here. All right. Male and female. That's God's order, right? That's why he put them on the ark. Why? Because male and female, that's it. That's what works. Right? That's what works. Now, Matthew chapter 19, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Male and female. So God's order is male and female. Also, hey, let me help you out with something. Science. Science agrees with God. Not that that matters, because if it disagreed with God, it doesn't matter. But the point is that even science agrees with God and says what? Well, male and female. I mean, that's it. That's how it works. And there'll be no reproduction if the plumbing is all wrong, right? I said that to those people out there when I preach my favorite sermon to them out there, my anatomy lessons and my basic science lessons, my biology lessons that I give them, I say, listen, all right, there's only two genders, and boy, do they flip out. I literally have full-grown men coming back and saying, with their wrist limp and the little bit of queer in their voice, they say, no, that's not true. Well, yes, it is, and you know it's true. I said, listen, I have some facts that you cannot deny. Every single one of you are here today because of a male-female relationship. Well, I don't think you can argue with that, can you? There isn't any way to argue with that one, is there? So, homosexuality from the beginning is not based off Bible truth. It is based off of rebellion to God's order. That's what it's based off of.
Why? Because he's working for the devil, that's why. Because once you understand where this is coming from, once you see this tonight where this is absolutely coming from, you know full well homosexuality will never be accepted by God. It never was. In fact, our God of this Bible is the only God that rejected it. Bam, right there. Plain and simple. He is the only God that is rejected. And I'm going to prove that to you tonight, by the way. I'm going to show you a ton of other false gods and other things that approve it, and it's part of their worship. And this is why God hated it, because the act of homosexuality is part of worship to the devil. That's what it is. It's part of worship. He said, a man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit. Now, why is that in the same chapter? Why would that be in the same chapter? Because in order for a nation to hit that level of wickedness and debauchery, in order for it to hit that level, you have to have all of these things. In order for those devils to have that type of power, homosexuality has to be present in the nation. Why do you think our country, why do you think you go out and you preach and the hearts are so absolutely hard? Why? Because you're resisting and fighting the devil, and there is evil and wickedness all around that is abounding, and you have devils that you are fighting. You are literally, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You think you're wrestling against the homosexual lobby out there? No! You are wrestling against the devils they've conjured up! That's who you're wrestling against. Unless you don't believe the Bible, that is. Unless you think your enemy is the seen and not the unseen. Because in these end times, the Apostle Paul promised us one thing. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
There you go. So listen, like I said, I'm going to use clips from this because, man, it's good. It's a blessing because the Lord gave me that and gave me all that truth to kind of pour out there and to deal with this subject. I dealt with a lot of subjects over the years like this, but you can see this is 2015. I haven't changed my position any with that. I haven't changed my position and come to a harder position. No, I've maintained the same biblical position by God's grace. But you see pastors all over the place and these groups, they are changing their positions. Changing them. Right? Why are they doing that? The reason they're doing that is because they don't follow the Word of God. They are not churches that follow the Word of God. They are churches that follow every wind of doctrine. And I'll tell you what, if you tie your hopes to a political leader, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And that's what's going on. Now I want to show you this. I want to give you a blast from the past. And I want to remind you of something here. I want to remind you of something that took place here. And it was right here.
The damage and devastation that can be inflicted by Islamic radicals has been proven over and over. At the World Trade Center, at an office party in San Bernardino, at the Boston Marathon, at a military recruiting center in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and many, many other locations. Only weeks ago, in Orlando, Florida, 49 wonderful Americans were savagely murdered by an Islamic terrorist. This time, the terrorist targeted LGBTQ community. No good. And we're going to stop it.
Okay, now catch the PSYOP here, kiddos, because here's where the PSYOP is. So now he equates, see, here's where the PSYOP is, okay? He equates supporting LGBTQ rights or who they are, that it's against Islamic terrorists. So then, if you stand against the LGBTQ community, then you must be for Islamic terrorists. You see how that works? See how that happened? Watch. Keep watching. And this is on the Republican platform.
As your president, I will do everything in my power to protect our LGBTQ citizens from the violence and oppression of a hateful foreign ideology. Believe me.
Here it is. Here it is. Here's where all the evangelicals either held their nose or they drank it in. I don't know which.
And I have to say, as a Republican, it is so nice to hear you cheering for what I just said. Thank you.
Did you hear that? As if all Republicans, because they know that the evangelicals are connected to the Republican Party, that if you're against that, then you're not part of this party. That's what they just said. That's what they just said. If you catch that, then you caught what I did. If you didn't, then you caught the AIDS that he was spreading. That's what you caught right there. So, either way, I'm just telling you. That's why I don't get all gung-ho behind these political leaders. I just don't. I don't get behind them like that. I don't tie myself to them. I'm not tying my ministry to them. I'm not tying the success or downfall of the ministry, of the gospel, of the work of the Holy Ghost, of God's movement, of this church to them. To any of them, because I don't trust any of them. I have no reason to trust any of them. Right? Why? Because he has single-handedly pushed homosexuality onto the map of the Republican Party in the out front of it, with evangelicals shaking hands. That's what I'm telling you. Now, where Trump is right, I'm not an idiot either. Some people are just dumb for on purpose, and they just, Like, should he have been impeached? No, that was stupid. That whole thing was dumb. He didn't even do anything to get impeached. But I'm intellectually honest and biblically honest when it comes to Trump. If he does something right, I'll tell you, hey, he did something right. But if it's wrong, I'll tell you it's wrong. So I'm not saying that people that support him are antichrist. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is how do evangelicals hold their nose when I'm telling you, Trump is riding this line right now between making the LGBTQ people happy and then also trying to make the evangelicals happy. But as Christians, as professing Christians in America get gayer, that line is thinly erasing. Thinly erasing. Right? So you ask the question, can it be is it compatible or is it more compatible with occultism? Well, if God made the order male and female in the beginning, if God set down the order, in the Bible for what he said was right and biblical, what he said his order was, then how can people who walk in complete rebellion and disorder to God, how could that be Christianity? It isn't. It isn't. It isn't at all. But you have people today that are being paradigm shift changers. Like, for instance, I mean, you have people like Beth Moore. Well, you have Donald Trump. When these evangelicals tie themselves to Donald Trump, they are literally accepting homosexuality. Listen, your name that says there is no Trinity, you are blasphemy to me, you person that's talking, that's commenting on here. You are blasphemy. Like, your name is walking blasphemy. You're going to die and go to hell. That's what you're going to do. So I don't want you even commenting on my page. You are openly blaspheming God. I don't need you anywhere near my stuff. So go away. You have the truth and you hate it. You just said that you hate God. You said you hate God in essence. You said there is no Trinity. You said you hate God. That's what you just said. So I want nothing to do with you. Anyway, go see the teaching on the Trinity, like 163 verses. Okay, Beth Moore turned heads today, went on Twitter. She gave her regular daily dose of craziness. Social justice warriors here, critical theory, homosexuality, communism. This is what these people promote now. They wouldn't call it that, but it's liberation theology. It's still the same garbage. What are they doing? They're trying to make Christianity and homosexuality and transgenderism, they're trying to make all those things biblical. That's what they're doing. And they're pushing an agenda that is not Bible. So people like Donald Trump, the president, other people like that, apparently now if I speak out against homosexuality, as I always have since I've pastored and since I've preached, if I do, apparently that means that I want to see homosexuals put to death. Well, you go ahead and search all my sermons and see if I said that. I can tell you one thing. I've had homosexuals tell me they want to rape me. I've had them tell me they want to kill me. I've had them tell me a lot of things. That little community of so-called acceptance, they don't accept the Jesus of the Bible. They accept another Jesus, another gospel. But see, this is becoming more powerful. This movement to push homosexuality, it is an occult movement, and to virtually change Christianity into something that it is not. Listen to this.
Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's your battle. That's what you're facing. I don't care the face of whoever it is. The battle is against that world and that underground. And that's who the battle's against and always will be. He said, a man or also a woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. And we understand we're New Testament Christians. I'm not saying this to you to tell you that we got to go out and get stones and start killing people. Not at all. You got to start preaching to them. You got to start preaching loud to them. You got to start standing where you need to stand. But in the Bible, what do we see here? We see the connection between homosexuality, sexual sins, and witchcraft. They're all connected in that chapter. And you are going to find, as we go through the Bible systematically, you are going to find that they're always connected. The same chapter, they're always there. There's a war there, and it's all a part of it. Why? Because it's a part of their worship. That's why. You have sodomites in the land. You have devil worshiping going on. That's just how it is. Plain and simple, that's how it is. What's the Bible say? 1 Samuel 15, chapter 15, verse number 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings as sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than that of the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Brother Nate just preached on that. Did a good job here on Sunday. But what's it say here? Witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. What is homosexuality? It's witchcraft. It is the number one way that you can defile and rebel against God. I shouldn't say that. There's one step above that that's even a height higher than that, and that is transgenderism, which we're going to get into. That's an even bigger blasphemy. That is like the top blasphemy there that you can commit there when it comes to these sexual sins, because that you are rotting complete confusion, as if this isn't bad enough, right? But it says here that rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. God hates homosexuality, and the devil knows that. What do we see, though, with Paul or Saul? What did Saul do? Saul rebelled against the Lord, and he went to a witch. What did Samuel warn him of? He said, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, Saul. What did Saul end up doing? Not but a little time after that, went to see a witch to conjure up a spirit. He was warned. God hates homosexuality. It's rebellion against his order. It's absolute rebellion. The devil knows this. The history of the occult and homosexuality cannot be separated. They go hand in hand. Why? Because they both are acts of rebellion against God. They are acts of rebellion, and they go hand in hand. The God of the Bible is the only God that laid down the order and the rules, and he does not budge on them, and he says, it's an abomination to me, and I hate it. Amen. Deuteronomy 9:4. Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Now, can I ask you a question? Why did God, before he sent them into the land of Canaan, why did he educate them on the law? Why did he tell them, no sodomites among the children of Israel? No prostitution? No Baal worship? No, because he said, I've given you this land, and all the inhabitants of the land have committed this wickedness before me. And it's an abomination before me. Why? Because they were worshiping devils. That's why. And God said it's abomination. And you don't do after their works when you go into that land. You don't follow their ways. Why? Well, why would, now let me ask you, why did God warn them against homosexuality? Was it because they were practicing homosexuality in Egypt and in Canaan? Yes. Some of the oldest, not the Israelites, I'm talking about the Egyptians. Because the Egyptians, if you go back to and understand the history of Egypt, you will understand that homosexuality is a part of that. And if you go to Canaan, you will understand that Baal worship is all about that. And more, by the way. He said, not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thine heart dost thou go to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it's the promise of God, right? That they would inherit the land. But God said, I don't want you to do after the heathen. Learn not the way of the heathen. Why? Because the pagans are sodomites. They are plain and simple.
Hey, listen to that preacher. Those pagans are sodomites. That's right. They're a bunch of pagans. If some man tells you that he's a Christian, let's get real here. If some man tells you he's a Christian and he's a sodomite, he is a pagan. He is a lost, wicked pagan on his way to hell. He is a rebel against God. He hates everything God stands for. He hates God's order. He hates everything that God instituted. Pagan number one, booty judge right here. That guy right there running for office here. Look at him. He's getting into an argument with Pence.
Gay rights and religion are at the heart of a simmering feud between Vice President Mike Pence and Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, who on Sunday is expected to formally launch his campaign for president. Ed O'Keefe has the latest back and forth on this.
Wouldn't the New World Order love to set up, wouldn't they love to absolutely set up a candidate against someone like Trump, who calls himself a Christian, or someone like Mike Pence, who calls himself a Christian, but is a Catholic. I'm just telling you, he's a Catholic. And then set that up between a sodomite man who is married to another man, who has this kind of softer approach to everything, and try to put that up as an appeal and say, well, I'm really a Christian. And then don't forget what happened here. Well, let me finish. I'll finish doing this. You can listen to this.
I'm not interested in feuding with the vice president, but if he wanted to clear this up, he could come out today and say he's changed his mind.
No, Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg, who's openly gay, criticized Vice President Pence again today for his opposition to gay marriage and gay rights, which Pence says is informed by his Christian faith.
I don't have a problem with religion. I'm religious, too. I have a problem with religion being used as a justification to harm people.
Okay, so first of all, how in the world is it just, how am I harming anyone when I tell them the truth that, you know what, you're a sodomite and you're going to die and go to hell because you're a sodomite and you're rebellious against God? You know what I tell the pornographer? You're a pornographer and you're going to die and go to hell because you're a sinner against God. I tell the drunkard, you're a drunkard and you're going to die and go to hell because you're a sinner against God. All of them are equal. All of them are equal. All of them are evil. Sinners. Homosexuals, God put down. There is some sin that is worse than others. And if you don't know that, you don't know your Bible. I'm going to say that again to you. If you don't know that there are some sins that are worse than others, that God deems worse than others, you don't know your Bible. Prove me wrong. Little Richard is gay. He's been caught being a sodomite more than one time, and I've saw Christians try to justify that when he goes back into his sod life and say that he's a Christian because he says he is. Well, Pete Buttigieg says he is too. There's a lot of people that say they're Christians, but they've never been born again. They've never been changed by the Spirit of God. They've never had their life changed. Get some people upset about that, huh?
That Pete'll offer more to the American people than attacks on my Christian faith or attacks on the president as he seeks the highest office in the land.
Pence says he doesn't believe in discriminating against anyone.
I think Pete's quarrels with the First Amendment. All of us in this country have the right to our religious beliefs.
Last month, Buttigieg, the 37-year-old mayor of South Bend, began raising questions about the vice president, whom he worked with when Pence was Indiana governor.
How could he allow himself to become the cheerleader of the porn star presidency? Is it that he stopped believing in scripture when he started believing in Donald Trump?
Wait, so here's a homo trying to tell you about hypocrisy. Can you believe it? So there's this homo that's on there. Whatever Pence's problem is Pence's problem. But listen to me. Let's just be real here. Buttigieg has no right to tell anybody anything. Because he's gayer nades. And he's not a Christian. And I tell it to his face. I'd love to see his face and tell him, look, you're not a Christian. You're going to die and go to hell. You are not a saved man. Here's another one.
2015, when both men were serving in Indiana, Pence signed a law that critics say unfairly targeted LGBT people. At the time, Buttigieg was just months from coming out as gay. The law was eventually rolled back amid a national outcry. Today, Buttigieg is surging in the polls, placing third in both Iowa and New Hampshire. He's an Afghanistan war veteran and a Harvard grad with a famously tricky last name.
It's the best way to pronounce your last name.
Buttigieg, but around South Bend, they just call me Mayor Pete.
Today, Buttigieg formally filed...
Actually, what they did was they called him the worst mayor ever. That's what they called him, because he was absolutely the worst mayor ever. Most people hated him there. Anyway. But that's not what I... That's neither here nor there. Here's what I want to show you. Here's what I want to show you. Ready? All right, let's go here. This is a Christian, right? This is a Christian?
Earlier tonight on Fox News, you saw the Pete Buttigieg town hall. I asked President Trump what he thought of the upstart candidate who's got so many in the media.
Wait, is there somebody that really wonders if Little Richard is gay? Is there actually somebody in this world that really looks at Little Richard and wonders, I wonder if that guy's gay? I mean, like, seriously? Like, really? Like, you actually wonder if Little Richard is gay? Do straight men walk around and act like that? Wow. I not where I come from, they don't. Maybe that's because I'm from the Midwest.
Media excited. Take a look. I'm interested in a couple of the things that you've said about 2020, some of the candidates. We've got the town hall with Pete Buttigieg.
Buttigieg.
There you go. this weekend. Just one thing on him, putting aside policy disagreements, don't you think it's just great to see the fact that you've got a guy there on the stage with his husband, and it's normal? It's not even seen as a big deal.
I think it's absolutely fine. I do.
Isn't it a sign of great progress in the country that that's just...
Yeah, I think it's great. I think that's something that perhaps some people will have a problem with. I have no problem with it whatsoever. I think it's good.
Okay, so I have no... Okay, really? I have no problem with it. I have no problem with it, he said. So the so-called Christian that claims to be a Christian, that hangs around with Paula White, that hangs around with all those evangelicals, Dr. James Dobson and all the other ones, says, well, I think it's great. I don't have a problem with it. I think it's great that he does that. That's what they said. That's what he said.
I think he runs a city that doesn't do perfectly. And I think he said, you know, it's sort of interesting because he's running for the president of the United States as a mayor. But you could say that I ran for president of the United States and I was never in politics before, right? But I had a good life and I had a successful life and we're doing good. But no, I think in one way it's terrific, absolutely.
So looking to the election, obviously the economy, very strong, no one can argue with that. But people say, well, the problem is the president won't be able to stick to that message. He's always going off on some other message and he's not really going to focus on that. And that's what you got wrong in the midterms by not focusing on the economy. Do you accept that?
Okay. So anyway, we don't care about that really. All right. So you're having a soft sell. A soft sell approach. I mean, this stuff's all been out there. It's not like it's new. You thought who was saved, Jordan? Who did you think was saved? Trump? Homosexuality is not a Christian doctrine. It is an evolutionary doctrine. It is a doctrine of devils. It is occultic. It is against everything that the Bible stands for. Listen to this old mean preacher.
Because the gods that they serve approve of that, and it's part of their worship. Why? Because it's the absolute opposite of what God wanted. That's why. So Satan will give power to those that wish to rebel against God. And it's been proven time and again that he gave power to those that would defy God. So the Lord told them, all these nations do these wicked things. Does God tell him, hey, it's okay to be gay? No. Just the opposite. What were their gods? Their gods were fallen angels and Satan and his wicked devils. That's who their gods were. That's who they worshiped. That's who they followed. Their devil worship, though, led them to homosexuality. Their denial of the one true God and his law leads to homosexuality. That's what leads to it. You don't see anywhere in the Bible where there was a sodomite among the children of Israel, do you? Never see God approve of that. You got all these jokers that call themselves apologists out there today, and they're going around saying, well, see, that's not what that verse meant in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's not what that meant there. No, God was against prostitution, but he's okay with two men in a monogamous relationship. And they take a Bible out, and they tour around the country, and they're popular, and people listen to it like, hey, that's true. Hey, I was on a website the other day. It was called Gay Christian 101. And they were indoctrinating people the fact that it's okay to be a sodomite. What's that? Now I'm on another list. Yeah, I don't think so. But there it was. And they're indoctrinating people, taking the Bible, crafty men, using the Word of God deceitfully, devil-possessed men. You see real Baal worshipers, and we see men that are lovers of their own selves that are homosexuals, though, don't we? Homosexuality is nothing more than rebellion and witchcraft. All right, next. Let's look at the occult and homosexuality. We're going to look at this. I believe it's nothing more than that spirit of Antichrist that pushes this rebellion. Obviously, we have to have a world that is prepared for Antichrist. So how do you do it? Have as much demonic activity, ceremonies, rituals to Satan as you possibly can. And what do we have in the streets of America today? In about 2 weeks, Brother Paul and those men are going to go down there, and there's going to be a sodomite festival going on. And what are they going to be doing? They are going to be parading their ceremonies up and down the streets, bragging and shaking their fists at the God of heaven and bragging about what they're doing. That's what they're going to be doing. Pride, lifting themselves up. That's what they're going to do. Mocking God. It's the ultimate slap in the face to God. To have his creation deny his very image in creation and absolutely mar the order that God has set down. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want to show you a pattern here. You're going to see it here and you're going to see it in another few places. 1 Corinthians 14. Or 1 Kings 14. Where I went with that. 1 Kings 14, verse number 22. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them. Now look at the order here. I want you to look at this, verse number 23. Pay attention. For they also built them high places. Oh, what are they doing there? For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill. And under every green tree. Now look at the next verse. And there were also sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. So what do we see here? We see altars, high places, right? Groves. What's the very next verse say? And there were also sodomites in the land. Why? Because when you leave the worship of the one true God, you bring in Antichrist worship. What is Antichrist worship? Homosexuality. It's inseparable. You cannot separate the two. That's why when some fool gets out there and says on television or one of these internet preachers, they get up there and they say, oh, well, gay people could be in the church and they could practice and they could be monogamous and they could be married and everything else. I just laugh at him. You fool. God won't even accept anything like that. God hates it. It's an abomination to him. It's occult worship. It is an act of occult worship. Baal homosexual worship.
Amen. That preacher was letting him have it, man. Anyway, so as you can see, God set the order down. What's happened, though? I'll tell you what's happening. The doctrine of evolution. See, you can be, okay, Dan Saber says you can be LGBT and be Christian. Dan, no, you can't. You're going to die and go to hell in your sins because you hate God and you hate his order. You hate the God of the Bible. You hate the God of the Bible that told you that what you're doing is wicked, sinful, an abomination to God. And God's going to destroy you for it. Absolutely. God's going to destroy you for it. Because that's what God does to sinners. It's an abomination unto him. See, Christianity in America has evolved. And it's happened because of what the Bible says in Romans chapter 1. What happened to them? It says here in verse number 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." So they are without, even his eternal power and Godhead. Do you think it's any wonder that the non-Trinity dude that got on here came on here on a homosexual post? Look what it says here. Because when you leave the true worship of God, you'll be capable of anything. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." You know, if you give over to your vain imagination, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts." It ain't biblical Christianity to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. What are they doing? They're changing the truth of God. They're evolving. They're evolving. "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." "For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly." You know what that word unseemly means? Luke, how do I get the definition of that word up there? Luke, how do I get the definition of that word up there? Picture? Yeah, how do you get that up there?
Just on the bottom.
Down here or what?
Yeah. You see a little it pops up to the bottom. It's right in between here. Put your mouse down a little bit until you see it go up.
Oh, right there?
Yeah, hold on now.
Oh, that's how you do that. Okay. There we go. Look at that word unseemly, not fit or becoming, uncomely, unbecoming, indecent. See that? Now, let me show you that how that's not love. See that word? First Corinthians 13 is a chapter on love. What does it say? Doth love doth not behave itself unseemly. See how you can prove that homosexuality is not love? Because it's not fit or becoming, uncomely, unbecoming. It's indecent. Homosexuality is indecent. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. See that? This is what homosexuality is. It's occult worship. This, that's why it's not compatible. Their God is not our God. It's not our God. I can show you scores of ways. I had a guy argue with me on Facebook about, because of my criticism of Donald Trump. He argued with me and argued with me and argued with me about it. And got and said that, no, you're just against the president. He said, are you working for Hillary Clinton? Yes, I am. Secretly, I'm working for Hillary Clinton. That's what it's all about. My whole diabolical scheme has been uncovered. I'm secretly working for Donald Trump. Or for Hillary Clinton. That's what it is. Hillary's secretly paying some unknown preacher all the way in Northfield, Minnesota, to war against Trump. So stupid. I mean, that's like dumb fairy tale garbage.
So from the study of history, it appears that the Israelites, what they did was they incorporated the other gods like Baal into their worship. So they did. Remember when the Bible says over and over again in Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes? So what did they do? Gideon's family was what? What were they worshiping? Baal, right? They were worshiping Jerubbaal, that's what they called him, right? His father? They were worshiping Baal, so what did they do? Well, his family just said, hey, I mean, we're worshiping Baal, but now the one true God called, so we're going to try to add him into our worship. Or we're going to try to add Baal into our worship. Some of these people added Baal in for their crops as a fertility god, so their crops would grow and they would make money and they would be fine. So they would worship the gods of the land that was around them and Jehovah. And God, what did it do? The Bible says it provoked God to jealousy, made him angry. Why? Because this Baal worship is homosexual. It's acts of homosexuality. And they angered God. So like modern day Christians claim the same thing, don't they? Oh, I could worship Jehovah God, but incorporate wicked Baal worship with it, right? I could incorporate, practicing homosexuals can be members of the church, right? They love God too. They're just sinners just like everybody else. No, they're not. They're absolute blasphemers to God. Now listen to this. I'm going to read you a few of these here that will talk about this. A few of these gods, and we'll go back and forth a little bit, okay, on a few things. Many aspects of shamanism. Remember, what am I trying to show you here tonight? Here's what I'm showing you. The one true God, Jehovah God, and his son, Jesus Christ, Lord God Almighty. Amen? Is the only one that ever stood against homosexuality the way that he did. He was the only one that commanded them burned and murdered and killed in the Old Testament. That was his command to his Israelites. Again, I'm not saying that's the command today. It's not. Not for us. What is the command? To separate from them and to preach against them. And to warn them to flee from the wrath to come. And come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord God. And touch not the unclean thing. But what I'm trying to show you is every other religion and every other false god accepted homosexuality as part of their worship. And God hated it because it was a part of their worship. Do you get it? It's a part of their worship. Listen, Satan is backwards. You have men like Aleister Crowley, they did everything backwards, right? It was called backwards magic, right? They did backwards magic. Why? Backmasking in rock music and everything else. Why is everything done backwards? It's because it's a defiance to God. That's why. It's all defiance. And God knows this and God hates the defiance. And it's a part of their religion. So, many aspects of shamanism had homosexual content. And many of the gods, spirits, and divinities of the world have been associated with homosexuality. In Tahiti, there were special divinities for homosexual worship. The ancient Shinto temples of Japan display scenes of rituals, homosexual rituals, similar to those of Bacchanalia of the Romans, and the great mother goddess of ancient China, Kuan Yin, was worshipped with those homosexual rites that included homosexuality and other things. When the Spanish conquistadors reached Central America and the Yucatan, they found a prevalence of gay priests and sacred statues and stone sculptures depicting the homosexual union as a sacred act. In the Yucatan, the god Chin is said to have established sacred homosexuality and a gay priesthood serving in the temples, just as was true of the temples of ancient Babylon and Samaria. Why do you think God told them over and over again, no, don't do that, get it out of my land. No, don't you set up a grove anywhere near. Don't you set up your houses of prostitution anywhere near my temple or my tabernacle. You keep them away because all such things are an abomination to me. And I drove those nations out of the land because of those things. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to see the same thing here. You're going to see the same thing here. This nation is, I don't care how many guns you have, you ain't standing up to the Antichrist. And you know what? Maybe, hey, look, you say I'm pre-trib. Good, I'll go with you, okay? I hope so. I don't believe it, but I hope so. I'm with you, brother. I really am with you, okay? But if it's not, you better be ready. You better be ready to die for Christ. That's all I got to say. And I ain't ashamed to say I am. The Holy Ghost of God will make you ready to die for Christ.
Amen.
So I don't care if you're pre-trib, post-trib, whatever trib you are. You just be ready. It's all that matters.
Amen. Man. That old boy got fired up. Anyway. So, what we have here is, by the way, that was in June of 2015. That was in their little gay month that they do. And I preached a series of messages against homosexuality during that month in dishonor of LGBTQ month. That's what that was. Anyway, but are you starting to see the pattern here? You don't see anywhere in the Bible homosexuality accepted. But you see it accepted in this occult worship.
A Christian writer named George Grant concurs. He says this. He writes that Rome was a perpetual satyricon. Egypt, Persia, Carthage, Babylon, and Assyria were all steeped in pederastic tradition. That means pedophilia. See, we have been shielded from a lot of history in America. I'm going to tell you something right now. The kids growing up today, let me tell you something else. Your history books that you have in homeschool, your kids are getting a better history lesson from this pulpit right here, and I'm not bragging. Glory to God, I'm just telling you the truth. You are hearing true history from this pulpit. I am telling you the things that have truly went down here in this world. And I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you. It is shielded, it is hidden from them, and then those kids go out in that world, and what happens to them? They are consumed by evil.
absolutely consumed by it. I'm going to tell you what, these kingdoms, these old kingdoms of Egypt, Persia, Carthage, Babylon, Assyria, they were all pedophilia. And I'm telling you what, white males are the worst pedophilia people that you will ever meet in your life. They are controlling the world, believe it or not, whether you want to believe it or not. They are the ones that are in control of much of this world. And these white elitists have pedophilia rings like you wouldn't believe. Exactly.
Including that old fish-faced pope in Rome.
And the ancient empires of the Mongols, the Tartars, the Huns, the Teutons, the Celts, the Incas, the Aztecs, the Mayans, the Nubians, the Mings, the Canaanites, and the Zulus likewise celebrated depravity, degradation, and debauchery. Was there any other reason besides that was God's chosen land? He said, yeah, that's going to be theirs. But you understand, he said it over and over again, didn't he? For their wickedness, not for your righteousness, but for their wickedness I drove those nations out from before you. That's what he said. Well, what wickedness? You know everything in that Levitical law and everything in that law in Deuteronomy, the re-giving of the law that he said that he hated and not to do it? For those things. Those things. Every single one of them. You mean, preacher, they really committed bestiality? Yeah. Homosexuality? Yeah. Pedophilia? Yeah. And that's what they want to do here. Mainstream. I know. I'm crazy. But I'm going to preach another sermon to you on Sunday called about a prophet. And I'm going to tell you something. God raises up prophets. All right? That'll mess with somebody's dispensationalism. I'm fine with it. I don't really care. But God raises up men with a spirit of the prophet to warn you. And I'm telling you, it's the last warning God gives before judgment comes. They rise up early. Those men that go out to those streets and they preach and they rise up early, warning you and warning you and warning. I'm telling you, America, you better listen because it's coming. It is coming. And they're going to do it right in front of your eyes. Man, I'm getting fired up.
Oh yeah. Anyway, so we see the contrast here. As you listen to this sermon, and I know I'm playing clips of it, but it just fits because you look at all the current times that we live in. You look at the you look at what's going on right now in our world, and now look at the steamroll of that LGBTQ community, right? How it's steamrolling over everyone. Then you get the picture. You also get the picture that they're trying to transform Christianity into their own version of it. But it's evolution. Why is it evolution? Well, because God never changes. Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." God doesn't change. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday. Look at the Bible says. Oops. Let me get this caps lock off and all the deal is here. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus said, in the beginning, he made them male and female. That was his rule. That takes care of the transgender mess. That takes care of the sodomites. That takes care of all of them. That's the way God made it. If you hold to anything outside of male and female, if you hold to any of the transgender nonsense or the multigendered nonsense that's out there, if you hold to any of those things, then you are believing Antichrist doctrines. That's what you're believing.
That's right. In sexuality and homosexuality, they were steeped in it. Historian Arno Carlin writes, a homosexual cult through the ancient world, male temple prostitutes existed among the devotees of Ishtar and Astarte. We've heard of them, right? Astarte, queen of heaven. Ishtar, okay. Other names that she went by. By the way, it's just Baal, male-female side. That's all that is, okay. In Syria, the Albanians and the Babylonians, the Canaanite neighbors of the ancient Hebrews, in Kos and Crete, Ephesus in the Greek world, the ancient religion of Baal. Now listen to this. Familiar to students of the Bible as set beliefs and practices which so often corrupted Hebrew society. Well, where did they always fall to? Baal. Every time the Israelites, Baal or Astarte, which is, by the way, all they're the same god. It's just the female-male part, okay? They're the same thing. They just changed the female male. Pick your poison, okay? They always fail. They always fell to Baal worship. Yeah. Yeah. Same thing, right. Absolutely. He's a moon god, right? Oh, Hyssop-Su Babylon's right. Yep, yep. Recorded the same thing. Same recording. That's right. Worshippers of Baal built for themselves high places and pillars. And Asherim, those are phallic poles, used to honor the goddess of fertility on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also male cult prostitutes in the land. Mm-hmm. All a part of the worship. Why? Because homosexuality is a cult worship. That's what it is. Painted scarlet and his eyes made up. I'm telling you, there is just a fruity history, man, with some of these people. Greece is another one. Bunch of fruits, man. I'm telling you, just a bunch of queers. It's just disgusting. The history of pedophilia and everything that goes into that. It's just unbelievable, these cultures. Why do you think we have to follow this book so close? Right? That's what bugger society was. If you study Greece, it'll make you sick. I mean, if you actually know the history of Greece, it'll make you sick. Pedophilia was normal. It was normal everyday life. Didn't hear that in grade school or in school, did you? Didn't hear that from your history book? No. Mm-hmm. By the way, you know why we're repeating all of it today? Do you want to know why? Because nobody stands up and tells you the truth, that's why. Nobody tells you what really happened and all the signs of everything that's happening. It's still happening. It's still happening today. And you can't point it out because you don't even understand what took place. Right. Exactly. Roman homosexuality tastes were so taken for granted that when Antony asked Herod to send his younger brother-in-law to the Roman court, Herod refused because he did not think it was safe to send him to the principal man of the Romans that would abuse him in his armors. Herod's like, no way, I'm not sending my brother-in-law to you. Catholic priest. Oh, I know, just crazy talk, right? Well, do as much studying on it as I do, then we'll come back. You can talk to me about it if you don't believe it. During their time in the Middle East, the Templars had established and maintained contact with the mystics. They were known to have close links to the assassins. I don't have time to tell you who those people were, but they were some very, very weird people, okay? Very dangerous people. They were called the Hashishes. Thank you. That's what they were called. Mm-hmm. And they had all kinds of dope and all kinds of drugs and all kinds of hallucinogens and they invented jihad, pretty much, is what they did. Yeah, they were the first MK Ultra. Well, yeah, exactly, they were. And that's where Ignatius Loyola and all them. Yeah, exactly, exactly, yep. But we'll talk about that some other day. We don't have time. I got to keep moving. From them, the Templars had learned some mystic teachings and barbaric strategies, as well as how to organize their group. Dark History of the Knights Templar, from a website called Dark History of the Knights Templar. I want to read this to you. The Knights Templar did this, that they freely practiced homosexuality and other sexual perversions, that the Grand Master wielded total authority over everything, that they practiced rituals of sorcery and used Catholic Kabbalistic symbolism. Same thing, Catholic Kabbalistic, doesn't matter. Was clear evidence that the order had become a sect of blasphemous to Christianity.
Their questioning revealed yet another of their unorthodox practices without being specific. They had admitted to idolatry, but during their ongoing interrogation, it gradually emerged that without any doubt they were worshiping Satan. Of course they were. But what were they involved with? Homosexuality. The Templars, which were the original Masons, revered an idol of Baphomet, a demon with the head of a goat whose image was later to become the symbol of the Church of Satan. Well, that had to be an accident, didn't it? That couldn't have... I mean, you couldn't really link the Church of Satan back to Rome, could you? Yeah. Baphomet was the deity worshipped by the Knights Templar, and the black magic was the source and creator of evil, the satanic goat of the witch's Sabbath. Most Templars confessed that they didn't believe in Jesus because they held him to be a false prophet, that they had committed acts of homosexuality during the admission ceremony as well as afterwards. What? I know your game, you wicked devil. I know it. And you're not mixing it with God's worship there. What do we have? Occultism. Admissions entered the court records, and following their trial, most of the Templars were in prison. Much has been said about the Templars' homosexual practices, and it had been suggested that their insignia of two riders on the back of one horse represented this custom. Well, of course it did. Of course it did. By the way, there's an old Egyptian account of Horus and Set, and homosexual affair there. What do we have? Occultism, homosexuality, same link. See, what am I saying? I'm saying, listen, there's Jehovah God in the Bible that hates it, and you're not going to mingle Baal worship with my God. You're not going to mingle Baal worship, you dirty, wicked, nasty, perverted people. You're not going to do it. I know your game, you wicked devil. I know it. And you're not mixing it with God's worship. You're not. God never accepted it. God hates it. That's why God said, well, we all know what happened when Moses came down off the mount. What were they trying to add in? They were trying to add three. Turn there, please. I want you to notice something. You're going to see something, another connection there. What do we say? The occult, homosexuality, connection, cannot be separated. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse number 4. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, look at this, and for the grove, and for all the hosts of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and buried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priest, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, and to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord. What was the grove? That was where the fertility rites were done. That's where the sodomite and the fornication was taking place, in those groves as worship to Baal.
All right, so there you have it. There's a lot more there. We might play a little bit more of this here if we have time here. We've got a little bit of time here. We got about 15, 17 minutes, but... lot to talk about there. Let's see. Does anybody have any questions about anything over here? I'm looking over here. I don't see any, but I will play a little bit more of this because it is insightful. I mean, it gives you kind of the history. It ties the Bible in with the history of the Sodomite worship and ties it all in together. And shows you that none of it is Christianity. None of it has ever been compatible with Christianity. But there's always been this Babylonian hidden sect of Jesuits and Kabbalistic Jews and others that were phony Christians that brought about a phony teaching, a phony Christianity that was filled with that homosexual worship. And that's what we have here in modern day Babylon today. We have this modern-day homosexuality that is acceptable. Right? And we have this sect that is rising today that is pushing to the forefront of the politics in America. Think about that.
says he stamped it small to powder and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. Oh, look at next. You think this was an accident or what? Look at verse number 7. Brother Paul, is this an accident here? Or seemed to fit just right? And he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord. Wait a minute. The houses of the Sodomites by the house of the Lord? Yeah, remember, the groves were there. So what was going on there? Well, you know what was going on there. Houses of the Sodomites. So he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. By the way, America is a haven for queers.
Rob asked the question, what are your thoughts about Margaret Robbie and Harlan? I don't even know who that is. I have no clue who that is. None whatsoever.
Because they left the God of the Bible and turned to idols. You turn to idols and false gods, and in comes the Sodomites. And look at it. Huh? Go back. Go back 60, 70, 80 years. Take God out of the schools. In comes secular humanism. In comes witchcraft. In comes satanic. In comes the Sodomites. And now they're coming for the kids. Yep. 1 Corinthians, the same thing happened in Israel. Why would it be different for us? Look at all the satanic worship that goes on in America today. And the open acceptance of homosexuality now among mainstream denominations. So what are we seeing? You're seeing the rise of Baal worship. And you can go ahead and write Ichabod on those dirty, nasty doors too. Because they ain't nothing but temple prostitutes is all they are. You can have your queers, you sickos. 1 Corinthians 10:20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. And not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Pretty clear. The things they sacrifice to their idols, to their gods, they're devils. Those are their devils. All right, how about the Mayas? Did they do this too? In describing the customs of the Mayas, inhabiting the Veripas Providence of 16th century Guatemala, Bishop Bartholomew mentions the relationships regulated by customary law between unmarried young men and boys, as well as similar relations prevailing among the adolescents, receiving instructions in the temple. Bunch of fakes. Among the classic period scenes found in a cave of Naj Tunuk is a depiction of a naked male creature. Dionysus, you've heard of that? You've heard of Dionysus, right? The worship of Dionysus? As a god of wine, madness, poetry, and love, Dionysus is depicted as a soft and feminine, yet virile and strong. He wore woman's clothing to hide from his stepmother's wrath, and he became homosexual with hermaphrodite. Yeah, come on. Stop. All right. In this book, by the way, Eric Phelps actually recommends this pink swastika book too because it has a lot of history. In his Vatican Assassins, he quotes this book as well. But they say this is tracing the occult, homosexuality, and Hitler, which was nothing more than a homosexual cult is what it was. The Nazis were. They were a vicious, mean people. But hey, Brother Paul, as we're out on the streets, who are the meanest people you ever run into? Violent. Angry. Yet while Christianity made great strides in limiting pagan practices, they were not eliminated. Under the Judeo-Christian culture pressure, surviving pagan beliefs and practices, including sexual perversion, were forced from public life, reemerging in secretive and mystical occultic societies. See, this Bible will push them into the closet. This Bible preached will push them into the closet. But when you close this Bible up, they'll come out. Mm-hmm. It is important to our study that we recognize that the Nazis were strongly influenced by pagan occult beliefs, and additionally that homosexuality is fundamental to many pagan belief systems. As noted by Greenberg, this is especially true in relation to aristocratic warrior societies. Alexander the Great, he was a Sodomite. Indeed, this was true even of the Greeks, whose homosexuality was forced upon them by Dorian invaders of the 12th century BC.
Plutarch states this: it was chiefly warlike peoples like the Lacedaemonians and the Cretans who were addicted to homosexuality. Author Brian Pronger notes that even the ancient Egyptians exhibited this tendency. Their warriors raped enemy soldiers after defeating them in battle. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's part of their worship, that's why. So this is uncomfortable. It won't be as uncomfortable as if we don't start speaking about it when it's done right in front of your window or right in front of your door. Oh, that would never happen. Yeah, I know. They didn't do that in Sodom, did they? They didn't bust down Lot's door, did they, or try to? I know, but America's different, right? Yay, let's all say the pledge. It's different, isn't it? Let's wave the flag, say the pledge, eat a hot dog or whatever. Yeah. Sing God Bless America, right? Yeah. Give me a break. People that aren't asleep understand this. An examination of the homo-occultic influences on the Nazis must begin with the Russian-born mystic Helena Blavatsky. She was the founder of the Theosophical Society and a figure who looms large behind some of the defining actions of the beliefs of the Nazi Party. Blavatsky was probably a lesbian, but we have no proof that she actually engaged in that. She is described as a very masculine woman who dominated her many followers, both male and female. Yeah, by the way, you have to be kind of a wimp to follow a woman like that anyway. She was married twice and maintained a...
Amen, that's good preaching right there. You got to be a stinking wimp to follow a woman like that. Whether it's Helena Blavatsky, whether it is Ellen G. White, I can't believe anybody takes those limp-wristed Seventh-day Adventist men serious. There's one, I forget his name. I don't remember his name, but they do some good videos, some of their stuff. But I forget what this guy's name is. Walter Veith, I think is his name. Like, how could anybody follow a guy that follows a woman like that? Like, how do you even do that?
A long association with Theosophical Society co-founder Henry Olcott. But these were relationships of convenience. The world-famous occultist Blavatsky founded the Theosophical Society in 1875 in New York, but soon moved her operation to India, where she wrote an influential occult book called The Secret Doctrine. You say, why do I need to know this? Because homosexuality, the occult, and Adolf Hitler, that's what pushed him. That was his motivation. That's why. Part of it. Can't preach it any other way. If you want to hear something easier, you can go listen to Joel Osteen on Saturday. He'll make it real easy for you and simple. He won't tell you any of this. Why didn't your history teacher tell you that Hitler was a part of the occult? Why didn't he tell you that Helena Blavatsky was one of his teachers? Why didn't he tell you that the secret doctrine was part of it? Why didn't they tell you that homosexuality was a part of the whole thing? Why? Why don't we know any of these things? That's right, it is a conspiracy. It's exactly what it is. She claimed to be the chosen spokesperson for two exalted masters who communicated telepathically with her from their secret dwelling place in Tibet. In 1884, the first German Theosophical Society was established despite its ludicrous tenets. Theosophy became extremely popular in Germany and Austria. In Austria, and its Aryan racist elitism appeared to be the growing number of ethnic Germans. Our nationalist sentiments demanded a reunited Germany. According to Blavatsky, the Aryans were the most spiritually advanced people on earth. But the Jews had a religion of hate and malice toward everyone and everything outside itself. You know, it's kind of like the homosexuals, and they say, "Yeah, you heterosexuals are mean, and you hate us." And you want, no, it's the other way around. You hate us. I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. And you want to kill us. I mean, you would like to impose on us is what you would like to do. But that's what Hitler did. The same thing he was guilty of. He accused the Jews of, when the Jews had no power at all to do anything. That's right. Before she died in 1891, Blavatsky chose her British disciple, Annie Besant, to be her successor. Besant, who had once been a devout Christian, became a dedicated occultist after meeting Blavatsky. Of course, she had assumed that Lanz's indiscretions were of the homosexual nature. Following his ordination in 1898 as a priest, Lanz was put to use as a teacher of choir boys. Oh, that's great. Isn't that great? In April of 1899, the 24-year-old left the order, stating his reason for this step is increasing nervousness and irritation. His departure was accounted to carnal loves, is what they said. His later radical hatred of women suggests a failed relationship with a woman.
It was through Lanz that Hitler would learn that many of his heroes of the history were also practicing homosexuals. After being expelled from the monastery, Lanz formed his own occultic order called the Ordo Novi Templi, or Order of the New Temple. The ONT was related to the OTO. You don't know what the OTO is, do you? Ordo Templi Orientis. Or close enough. The Order of the Temple of the East. Crowley's order. Okay? Which was a part of those rituals. Hitler was aware that Lanz was a homosexual according to the Nazi Genealogy Office of Munich, as reported by Dame. Schmidt Falk frequently spoke with Hitler personally in her role as a genealogical researcher whose task was to...
By the way, the book that I'm reading from, or that I'm quoting from right there, is called The Pink Swastika. And it has a lot of information in it about this subject.
Verify the racial purity of high-placed Nazis. She did not conclude from her discussion that Hitler was personally associated with Lanz, although he may have been, and she reported that Lanz was also mentioned once in the following connection. A convicted homosexual had addressed a plea for clemency to Hitler, in which he designated Lanz as a homosexual. Hitler allowed this man to disappear immediately. Because he dropped that occultist name, so he let him go. At another time, Hitler mentioned Roem, Heinz, and also Lanz von Liebenfels in his group, about which group he, Hitler, at least accepted that it was actively homosexual. See, Hitler knew it because he was part of that homosexual occult. He was all a part of it. In the early 1300s, the Knights Templars were condemned by the Pope Innocent III for homosexual perversion and occultic practices. They were brought to trial and disbanded by King Philip of France. Anyway, this is going back to kind of the history of the Knights Templar, but we're going to skip that here because I don't have time to get into that. I got to keep moving here. An Austrian psychologist published a study from Lanz, who was, by the way, the biggest influence on Hitler, recounts that Lanz had met Hitler in Vienna when the latter was 20 years old. Hitler often visited occult bookstores, and he used his contacts in some of them to locate Lanz after having trouble finding back.
Isn't that interesting? Visited occult bookstores. I've met some guys like that.
Issues of Ostara. While he was destitute of Vienna, Hitler hotly defended Liebenfels's ideas against skeptics. Dietrich Eckart adopted Hitler as his student in 1920. He later stated that he felt drawn to Hitler's whole being and that he and Hitler developed an intimate relationship in which he referred to the younger man as my Adolf. Why? Because he was a sodomite. And that was part that. Listen, if you study the writings of Helena Blavatsky, Aleister Crowley, all of them, what is a part of that? Homosexuality is an occult practice, is occult worship inside of their movement. It is the highest level of occult worship inside of their magical movement, in their magic. We do know that Eckhart was one of the most enthusiastic followers of Otto Weininger, a leading homosexual supremacist whose theories denigrated women. Hitler was a queer, plain and simple. That's what he was. Now he had, that doesn't. By the way, you have to understand something about these sick people. They don't care. They.
Anyway, okay. Well, we'll stop there, but you get the gist of it. And as you move forward with it, you can listen to the whole sermon. It's called Homosexuality is Occult Worship, Hitler, Crowley, and Secret Societies. You can listen to that on YouTube or on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. You can find it there and listen to it and kind of get a good understanding. But I think I gave you enough of an understanding there to where you can figure it out. So, all the people that taught evolutionary techniques or evolutionary teachings and that also taught occultic teachings that were against the scriptures supported homosexuality. Bible Christianity rejects homosexuality, preaches against it. And if you are homosexual, I will tell you that you must repent and believe the gospel. You must be changed supernaturally by the Spirit of God. And only Christ can change you. Did somebody ask a question? Did Jesus know who hit him when he was blindfolded? Of course he knew who hit him when he was blindfolded. Jesus knows everything. So anyway, The point of this is that if someone ever tells you a brand of Christianity, a version of Christianity that is not, that accepts homosexuality, it's not biblical. It's not the God of the Bible. It's something way different. It's occultic, and it's Antichrist. That's what it is. And the Bible says, marvel not that you must be born again. You must be saved by the grace of God. You must have your sins forgiven. You must come to repentance and faith in Christ alone. Your sins must be blotted out. You can listen to the sermon, the gospel, which is able to save your soul. There's other sermons that I have on there with the about the gospel that you can listen to. But you have to understand that homosexuality is not compatible with biblical Christianity. It never will be. God hates it. It is an abomination. God said it very plainly. Said it very plainly in the scriptures. I think it's Leviticus 18. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. So, it is an abomination. And the more you understand that, and the more others understand that, they can understand and not be fooled by this quasi-antichrist occultic form of Christianity that is being preached out there that is not Bible. It's not based on the scriptures. It's not based on the truth. It's not based on the Word of God. It's based off man's opinion, but not off the scriptures. Something totally different. And it's Antichrist. God hates it. So, there you have it. Hope that gives you a good understanding of it. And you can go back and listen to that sermon if you want. You can have more information on some of those things. But anyway, that is it for today, I believe. So, unless anybody has any questions of any relevancy there. Other than that, I'll get going here. I slept in today. I got some good rest today. I needed it. I had a busy weekend. And, you know, for me anyway, I did a lot of studying and different things like that. But I just needed to rest in, sleep in and get some rest. And I was able to do that this morning, which was good. It's good for the mind to get plenty of sleep and rest. And good for nutrition and all those, you know, along with nutrition and everything else. It's good that we do that sometimes, and sometimes we gotta get our rest. So, amen. Good stuff. Off to work. Lisa's off to work. Okay, Lisa, we'll have a good night for sure. Hope you're doing well, Teresa. God bless you too, Joe. Wow, Hitler being scared. Most evil men die afraid. Yeah, they do. But I don't know if that's true. I don't think Hitler died. I think Hitler left, and I think Hitler didn't die until he was an old man. In fact, the CIA released some information stating that Hitler didn't die until he was an old man in another country. Scott asked me a question. Your trials, Pastor, have they mellowed you a little? I would guess so. I think they've tempered me. A lot of them have tempered me, matured me in some ways. I would say so, Scott. I would say so.
I suppose maybe some people think I'm getting really mellow. I don't know. If you're listening close enough, yeah, you might think that. You know, but that's the Lord's work. Who had Parkinson's disease? Must be Hitler they're talking about. I don't know. What's the levels of hell? I have no idea. I'm just, thank God I'm not going there. Will you cover the coronavirus distraction? Well, I mean, I don't think it's a distraction. I think people are really getting sick. I mean, I would assume they're dying. I don't know. I mean, I obviously they'll use it to their advantage any crisis, but let's see. Rob Lee said, "Should Christian men love weird-looking girls?" I don't know. I don't know any Christian men that love Billie Eilish, Lady Gaga, or Gwen Stefani. I don't know any that would. That's just a really weird question. I know. Why would you be attracted to those weirdos? I don't know. Should Christians read Dante's Divine Comedy? I don't know. I've never seen it. I don't know what it is. Why didn't Judas ask Jesus for forgiveness? Because his heart was hard. That's why. And he had betrayed the innocent blood. And Satan entered into him. And woe to that man, the Bible says. Okay. Teresa is asking for prayer there. Applied to a new area of the hospital. Okay. Well, all right. I hope you all have a good night, and yeah, I don't know. I've never read it. I know Dante's Inferno. I think it has like some, I think that's him, some really interesting pictures, but I don't know anything about it. Is National Geographic considered pornographic? Well, if it shows naked women, I would say it's pornographic. How does the spirit enter into them? I don't know. We can't tell, but it goes into their soul. That's where it goes. So, that's what I do know. It goes into their soul. That's what we do know. That's what happens. Okay. God bless you too, Brian and Debbie. Hope you're doing well. All right. You all have a good night, and we'll touch base again on Wednesday.